next presentation is potassium starvation affects growth more than photosynthesis in soybean across ambient elevated carbon dioxide. Presented by Funga, USDA RIS. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Okay, then let's get started. As you see that I'm a research scientist at the USDA ARS Wellsville, Maryland. So I'm going to talk about some of the phosphorus nutrition in plants across ambient and elevated carbon dioxide. Here is a very simple outline. I like to say they're used to this one. So there will be five parts in my presentation: background, objective, methods, and conclusion. And just to give a refresh that about the plant nutrients. So we know that about 16 nutrients, they are essential for plant growth. And you will see that among the primary nutrient that is absorbed by plant from the soil are these three: nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And we know that C, H, and O, they come from the atmosphere or water. So as far as the background concern, potassium is the second most abundant nutrient after nitrogen. Although I looked earlier the database on the FAO, I found that based on the consumption, they had the data starting from 2012, based on the consumption of the fertilizer, phosphorus stand before potassium. However, phosphorus is required in much less quantity than the potassium. So unlike nitrogen or phosphorus, as we know that potassium is not a part of any structural component in the plants. It does not associate itself with any structural component like membrane, amino acid, or protein. But it plays a really vital role in the plants. For example, carbohydrate and protein metabolism. In the protein metabolism, we know that for protein synthesis, enzyme activation, it activates, potassium activate enzyme that reads the messenger RNA in order to transcribe it in the protein. And at the same time, also potassium helps make the conformational changes in the enzyme needed so it could bind to the substrate and enhance the reaction. Phloem loading is one of the most important part it plays. And of course, all we know that is stomatal opening. And then compatible solutes and cellular turgidity. It's a very important role of potassium. And it gives health to the plant and immune to fight stress, either it is biotic or abiotic stresses. So it also the quality of plants and yield depends on the potassium concentration inside the tissue. Oops. All right, so far we know that a large area of crop land is deficient in potassium, and it's mostly attributed to the imbalance between the removal throughout the generations of cropping, removal of the potassium from the land, and not adequate application. And potassium deficiency, we know that adversely affects plants' photosynthesis, leaf area expansion, biomass accumulation, and yield. However, elevated CO2 stimulates photosynthesis and plant growth. But depending on the stress level, the deficiency of severity of the nutrient deficiency, for example, potassium, we know that this stimulation by carbon dioxide might be limited. Other thing is potassium starvation also suppresses plant growth before a visible symptom can be seen. And this is one of the challenges for the farmers too. By the time if we are looking for potassium deficiency symptoms, by the time we see it, it's already done its job. So this is an example you see showing symptoms of potassium deficiency under controlled environment and under field condition. So in controlled environment is coming from this study actually. The field is, study just showing the symptoms of the potassium deficiency in soybean. Here what we see that this is control, and these two are the stresses. And upper panel is elevated CO2, and this is ambient CO2. And you see there's a typical potassium deficiency, regardless it is controlled environment or into the field condition. The deficiency of the field was about 21 ppm. That's like about 20% of the critical level. That's about 105 ppm in the soil. So in this view, it's very important to capture and to diagnose potassium deficiency under field when the crops are going early at early stage of crop. So we know that the both potassium deficiency and elevated CO2 level are expected to co-occur under natural environmental condition, under field condition. And we know that elevated CO2 enhances plant productivity. However, opposite is the case for potassium starvation. So, but it's still depending on how much severe the deficiency is, we can expect that carbon dioxide will help to some degree, just because of the fact that it provides extra carbohydrate due to the increased rate of photosynthesis. So both of these factors, they affect the plant physiological, plant biochemical processes, for example, starting from photosynthesis leaf area to the seed filling stages. So the interaction between them are expected to alter the plant response to these combined factors. And there are very less study in that regard. So my objective was just to evaluate the combined effect of potassium and carbon dioxide levels on soybean growth and photosynthetic processes. So the method is very simple. It was a growth chamber study, and I used Spencer soybean and normal temperature and about 900 micromole power. That was given 12 hours every day. Planted in 18 parts per chamber, about 8 liter parts filled with sand. And they were fertigated depending on the stage of the plant 4 to 6 times a day until the parts started to flush from the bottom holes. And using Hoagland nutrient solution that was modified to adjust for the potassium deficiency. And the whole experiment was repeated over time. So there was a repetition of the experiment. So there were periodic measurements of plants, because 18 plants cannot accommodate in one chamber, so there were periodic harvesting and measurements and things like that. So some of those adaptive growth-related traits were plant height, nodes, that sort of thing, and then photosynthesis-related traits. Photosynthesis, especially I measure the curve, ACI and APR curve, chlorophyll fluorescence, stomatal and mesophyll conductance, carboxylation rate, and alternative electron sink. So let's jump into the results. So here I am not going to provide a typical, I ran a statistical analysis, the general mixed model, using the repetition of the experiment as a random effect. And I'm not just providing all those, the ANOVA and things like that, just because it will just clutter a lot. However, I can tell, and there is a paper on this one that has already been, the one on the bottom, there, most of this data is already there. So result, this is just kind of temporal changes in potassium concentration. What I want you to notice is here, the red line, the red one is elevated, black is ambient, and it's going to be the same continuous in all the all the figures. Here is the date, days after planting. On the left axis, you will see those traits, like, for example, potassium concentration. So you notice that from the early, there was about half of the potassium on the middle one. There were three treatment. The 0.5 millimole, that is equivalent about 20 ppm soluble potassium in the solution. And the bottom is very, very stressed. It's severe stress, actually. So you see, there were already half. So over the time, they closed up the gap, but still they were pretty above. The control was pretty above compared to the stress one. Photosynthesis went in the same way. However, in this case, if you see the triangle, these triangles, they were very close to the control. And here is, I'm going to show like this, just kind of percentage to make a quick kind of observation for you all. So on here, it will be always control, then the middle treatment, and the severe potassium deficiency treatment. So this is all telling, all average across the day. And you will see about 54% reduction at this level, 0.5 millimole potassium treatment, and about 79% reduction in the tissue leaf cake concentration. So this is just to start to give a background, a kind of a foundation. I'm going to start and talk about this a lot. So one of first trait is the growth. Growth rate is very important for plants, and as we know how the stem elongate, how many centimeter per day, and things like that. So there was a lot of measurement between this gap. I could not measure because it was very tough for me to do that. But this is the top panel shows plant height, node number, main stem node number, and then main stem leaf area. This is only main stem leaf area. And from based on this, using data points from here to here, where the linear acceleration of those growths were, I was able to calculate rates. And you will see that the stem elongation rate was affected severely. This node addition rate and the middle was not affected much, but at the severe stage only, and leaf area expansion rate was affected in both cases. Can you still hear me? On the back?
Yes.
Thank you. And then this is a kind of some growth trait. This is from 28 days and 42 days after planting. So what I want you to notice in there, the decrease in the growth. So here it's going to be like this. Focus on, there is two components in my talk here. One focus on the growth parameters and the other one on photosynthesis parameters. And the growth parameter you see in the at the middle potassium deficiency, it was about 50% decrease regardless of the date, about 50% close. And then you look on the, this is at maturity biomass and yield. Previous was just biomass and leaf area and biomass. Look, on the middle, it is the biomass decrease 43 and then yield 49. But if you look at the photosynthesis parameter, what I want you to notice that despite the decrease of this potassium concentration in the leaf about 50% decrease in the growth, the photosynthesis was not affected. This is photosynthesis. And it was supported by other traits of the photosynthesis, for example, stomatal conductance, chlorophyll, and potassium, photosystem second quantum yield. So similarly, if you notice, this carboxylation efficiency was the same, and then mesophyll conductance, it was even minus. And the limitation caused by them were little bit stomatal limitation increase under under medium phosphorus potassium deficiency, but more. However, mesophyll conductance was mainly responsible, the limitation under severe potassium deficiency. So, same way, there were some adjustments they were done, like, for example, increase in specific leaf weight and light compensation point, light absorptions, and the respiration. These are the adjustments they were helping the photosynthesis process to be continued. So in conclusion, potassium deficiency limited growth-related trait more than photosynthesis trait. And despite the 54% decrease in the foliar potassium concentration and 0.5 millimole compared to control, 45% leaf area, all those growth related trait decrease. And in fact, the stable photosynthesis was not was supported by other gas exchange and fluorescence parameter. And biomass decline was primarily attributed to the reduced leaf area and plant stature. And under severe K deficiency, they both decreased parallel photosynthesis related trait and growth. However, the decrease was still less for the photosynthesis parameters. So at the end, I like to say that elevated CO2 did compensate at least partially for the deficiency of potassium. However, the severe deficiency of the potassium has restricted the beneficial effect of CO2. So at the end, once planted, an early foliar detection of potassium deficiency is essential to avoid and or minimize the soybean yield loss. So this is acknowledgement of the adaptive cropping system team at the USDA, students and support staff, and thank you. Yeah, decrease in the biomass.
Where are those photosynthesis going? So where is that one?
Okay. Remember, I'm talking about the rate. So the decrease in the biomass was not caused by the rate in the decrease in the rate in the photosynthesis. However, decrease in the overall canopy photosynthesis because of decrease in the leaf area. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.